Welcome!
Why, hello there.
Hello again. Hello again. So, the podcast episodes that you'll be hearing very soon.
Oh, actually,
I've been pacing around the room. You're going to hear it again. So, deal with it. If you don't like it, don't listen to my podcast because not many of you listen to the podcast anyway. So, and then John stood up. Now he's walking around too. We're pacing this short little room in our college library. We're losing calories. Drinking Celsius. Celsius, fucking sponsor us.
Yeah.
If you don't sponsor us, I will spontaneously
combust,
bitch.
We drink this stuff a lot.
Yeah.
If you sponsor us, we'd make
actually, either Celsius or G Fuel, please sponsor me. I would fucking love you guys forever. Supply me with your shit because I live off of you.
If not Mountain Dew Voltage.
No, do your homework. Mitchell's trying to do homework, and he's listening.
I just said Mountain Dew Voltage, which please sponsor me.
This is my podcast.
I didn't say you.
No other sponsorship other than Coca-Cola, Celsius, G Fuel.
I said
on this
not your
no,
podcast.
No, I know, but it's going to be on my podcast. We can't have no slander on these other
items. I was like, no.
We can't have slander. Voltage, no.
I was like, no, I know what you're talking about.
No, I know.
Please sponsor me.
Please sponsor Mitchell because he drinks it every single day. And if you don't,
we're sponsoring Mitchell.
We're making this believable, Mitchell.
I'm not lying.
They're not going to sponsor you if you don't lie.
Well, they're probably not going to sponsor you since you're
not. They're probably
not
going to sponsor me anyway. One day,
they might.
If this podcast blows up, which it probably won't, but if it blows up and one of you companies go back and listen to this episode, you'll be like, oh shit, okay.
Dude,
he's a little crazy.
Every episode, let's just say this episode is sponsored by Celsius.
So we should change the sponsor every episode to a stupid, like, different company or something. Next time is going to be Target.
Today we're sponsored by Nintendo.
But no, the real sponsorship for the day is the Count of Monte Cristo.
Yes.
Because that is the movie
they
we're talking
sponsored
about.
We're watching
our minds.
No. We're going to talk about this movie. John's seen it a lot.
This is one of my favorite movies. And this is specific.
So, like, I'm going to let John take the floor on most of this because he knows more about this than I do. Because I just watched it for the first time.
So there are multiple versions of The Count of Monte Cristo.
Isn't it a book too?
Yes, it's a classic
okay.
book that I haven't read yet, but I definitely want to read. And then
it's
definitely
a book that I want to read as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, it's a pretty long book. That's why I haven't read it yet. It's like, I don't know, long.
Yeah, but we're talking about the 2002 film.
Yeah, the 2002 version is one we saw. And that's
Guy Pearce is in it. I know. There's a bunch of other people in it. I can't remember the cast at all.
Jim Caviezel.
He's a really good actor too.
Yeah.
Henry Cavill.
Louise,
young
Henry
Cavill.
Just as stunning.
Yes, he is.
He plays
Richard
Albert
Harris.
Mumbagle.
And if you know Harry Potter, you know Richard Harris.
Yeah.
And he's phenomenal. He's not in this movie a lot. He helps the main character break out of prison. Richard Harris is amazing.
That's who it is.
Snape.
But he plays
Snape.
He plays a really good part in this movie.
Jimbo.
Small, but it's good.
Small,
Jimbo.
But it's very good. It's essential to propelling the plot.
Yeah, without him, Edmond Dantès, the main character, would have been nothing.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us about what the plot of the movie is? The basic plot of it?
So you've got this dude named Edmond Dantès. He starts out as like a very kind of innocent character, naive and innocent. He's just kind of making his way through life.
He's young and stupid, kind of like we are.
But
still.
He's also good looking and charismatic. So
I'm neither of them.
Yeah, that makes two of us. But he's got this really hot girlfriend. And he's also got this really douchey friend.
H-O-T hot.
H-O-T. Yeah,
all
big, big, big boob. So anyways, he's got a best friend who's kind of an asshole, but
he's kind of a prick.
But
you don't think he's gonna do very big prickish things.
Yeah,
but
the thing is, he's become more and more of a prick as he's gotten older and older. And he's always been a prick, but it's, you know, becoming more of like, as he's older, the maturity of the prickness has become more evil rather than just childish
just
prickiness.
Being a dickhead.
Yeah.
Sure. prick.
So he ends up kind of falling in love with Edmund's girlfriend, and
spoiler.
And he also feels betrayed by Edmund because Edmund keeps a secret from him because he made a promise that he wouldn't tell him that Napoleon Bonaparte made Edmond Dantès promise that he wouldn't share the information that that Napoleon Bonaparte gave him a letter. And Edmond Dantès can't even read.
No,
it's kind of weird.
No, because Richard Harris actually teaches him to read in the film.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's how I'm sure that's how they do it in the book and other things too, but I don't really know.
So he hasn't realized that this letter that Napoleon Bonaparte gave him was actually, and so it starts out with them going on to the island of Elba or whatever.
Elba.
I think so.
Elba.
Elbo.
Elba to save
now
the captain.
Now listen to this. Oh. Elbow drops.
Yeah, yeah.
That was terrible.
And that's
good
the
night,
island. And that's the island that Napoleon Bonaparte was cast to. What's the word? Exiled to.
Exile. The island he was exiled to.
Yeah. Yeah, the island he was exiled to, and because their captain has like a brain fever or something like that. Napoleon Bonaparte gives him a letter to give to an old friend back at the mainland. Turns out that letter is a treasonous letter. And Edmund's friend sees Napoleon handing him that letter and then reads it while he's asleep. And so he knows that it's actually a treasonous letter. And so he betrays his friend, which gets him sent to...
he puts him in prison, basically, for that.
And this isn't just any prison. This is what's known as the, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it, like Shadow Deep or something like that.
What the fuck,
Trevor? I was like, what the fuck? And he spends, in all, 11 years there, I think? 11,
I think
12
so,
years
yeah.
there, and then
he learns to read
so
from
the first,
Richard Harris.
The first 6 years there, he is just an absolute, he's in complete darkness. His head is just going mental. But then...
And this is like the first like 20, 30, 40 minutes of the movie, and it takes its time
it
setting all this
time,
stuff up.
Which is why
which
I like
is
it
why
so
I
much.
Appreciate this movie, because it takes time to set it up before like the actual scheming that he does to escape.
Bro, and this is why I like Richard Harris's character so much. Richard Harris digs a tunnel into Edmund Dantès's prison room. And
he's
turns
like,
out he dug it in the entirely wrong direction to get escape. He dug further into the prison. He's like, I knew it had to be one of two ways. I just picked the wrong one. But because of that, he discovered Edmond Dantès, and Edmond Dantès's fate is then changed.
Yes.
And
then
now,
they both work together so they can escape.
Yep.
Which, Richard Harris, he dies.
He dies. And you know, there's like a, they're digging, and there's like a little cave-in. And you know, it's a little cave-in, but this guy's an old man, and some of the rocks are pretty heavy, and one hits his head, and crushed, and one hits his, crushed lungs or something like
crushed
that
lungs,
that he ended up dying from.
And that's what's beautiful about this movie, is it just takes its time to get into the world of this. Like, you're into this world. This movie is a long movie. It's about 2 hours and, 14, 15 minutes? I think it says.
Here?
Scroll up to the top. Let's see. So 2 hours
and
14
minutes.
So it takes its time with it.
Yeah.
And then I think the setup is pretty great. And then towards the middle, when more of the scheming kind of ends, it kind of slows its pace a little bit more, and it gets not boring, but it just, you can feel it's not quite as exciting as
there's kind
the
of,
first half of the movie.
It's
and kind
then
of
one
the
of those
last
yeah.
half.
It's kind of one of those movies where there's a couple special moments in it that make the entire movie. Like, the whole movie is, like, really, really nice, you know, and there's many fun moments.
Yeah.
But
it's a beautifully shot movie. Like, everything in this movie is just beautiful. You just take in the scenery. You feel the time frame that it was set in. Like, it's beautiful. You feel like you're with Napoleon.
And the shots are really, like, do you remember that shot when he's in the, they're in the bedroom and she's like, God is in everything.
Yes. That was really beautiful.
That shot is one of my favorite shots
That's
ever.
A great shot and a great scene.
Yeah. So
then,
do we want to go through the whole plot of the movie?
We can if you want.
Okay.
I don't know
if that's the strategy.
Like,
or,
what's
that?
How long is it going to take?
This will take a few minutes, probably.
Okay.
I was probably going to see if I could watch, because I got to do my video.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll finish this up in like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So
we'll,
I just need,
we'll flag
I need like
you.
8 minutes. I need 8 minutes. So.
All right, sounds good. Let's just go through the whole plot.
Okay.
It's kind of... It'll just be
so,
easier. We haven't really done this before. We haven't went through like a whole plot. Like,
no, we haven't.
We
do it sometimes. Sometimes we do. But like,
it's like with movies that we really are passionate about.
Yeah,
like,
it is. Cause then,
or movies that we really hate. Because hint, hint, we'll probably record one of those episodes today or when I get back from my trip.
From which movie?
Replicas.
Oh, yeah. That, okay, I didn't.
Not guaranteed today.
Yeah.
And hint, hint, Fast 10, we're going to record that too. We're probably going to talk about most of the plot of that movie. But continue on.
Okay. So anyways, after Richard Harris dies, Edmund sees his... Oh, and before he dies, Richard Harris's character... he worked for the Count of Sparta or something like that,
yes.
Which was this freakishly rich man. And, he became really, really good friends with him. And so before Sparta died, he gave Richard Harris the secret to where he hid all this treasure, and he made a map to it and gave the map to Richard Harris.
I don't know
if Richard Harris actually knew where the treasure was.
But he knew of it.
He knew at least of it.
Yeah.
So before he dies, he's like, and that's why he was in prison in the first place, because they were trying to force him to tell them where the treasure of Sparta was, and he wouldn't, because he knew that they'd use it for dog shittery.
And that's kind of what the rest of the movie is it's a revenge tale, and then trying to find treasure,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay, so immediately when, so Edmond Dantès now has this map to where the treasure is, and now he uses Richard Harris's death to escape, because they're like, they put him in a little bag, they put Richard Harris's body in a bag and then bring him out. Edmond Dantès sees a moment where he can get in the bag and then and takes his body out, puts it in the other prison room through the tunnel, and then he kills the prison
guard, you want to call him,
and immediately after he escapes, he swims to shore and he sees these pirates are just like, judging by your ragged clothes and the fact that Shadow Deep is 2 miles away.
They're like, all right,
we know that you're a prisoner. So then they make him nice fight with Luis Guzman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also known as Jacopo.
Yeah, which he's a beautiful human being.
Yeah.
He's funny as fuck in most movies he's in. And he has that nice little...
He's always joking. He's always got like a joking character. He's kind of one of those characters.
And he plays it really well, I think.
Yeah.
And he does yet again in this movie.
Yeah, he's not like a huge character in this movie,
no,
but
he's just like comedy relief.
After Edmond Dantès escapes, he becomes like this serious ass character. Like, all he cares about is revenge at this point.
Yeah,
so Jacopo is kind of like that release.
Yeah. And you can just see him just going after,
clawing
after this, trying to get to the end point of trying to just kill God Pierce, He's the...
Fernando.
Yeah, he's the asshole dude, right?
Yeah.
So it's just them trying to find each other and just trying to basically rip each other apart.
And he does it slowly. Like, he works himself into their lives.
What?
Actually, let's get to that. I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
So anyways, Jacopo is... Jacopo stole some money and didn't share it with the crew, and so they're like, we're gonna bury him alive, but then Edmund shows up and they're like, you're a good find, because
like,
now we can make you
see every scheming aspect in this.
Yeah,
like, holy shit.
And
like, this dude's serious.
And he's like, you can knife fight with Jacopo, and then Edmund ends up beating him because Richard Harris also taught Edmond Dantès how to sword fight, knife fight, so he kicks his ass. And now Jacopo is kind of like his man.
we're looking on Google, and then we're finding photos of us. Stop so we can continue podcast. Continue, John.
Now Edmund and Jacopo go and find the treasure of Sparta. They follow the clues on the map that lead them to this elephant island.
And mind you, this is kind of like a simple mystery revenge movie.
Very
like,
simple.
It's about the oldest tale you could
tell.
They do it intricately. So well.
They do it very intricately.
Yeah.
So now he has the treasure. He goes and buys a beautiful. Beautiful,
beautiful
place. Beautiful place. It's so gorgeous. It's like, and he becomes a count.
It's not as gorgeous as you are, though, John.
Agreed.
Didn't we just like 5 minutes earlier be like, we're the ego?
There's no ego.
What we're going to say about ourselves.
We're the
one minute we're fucking amazing. Next, we're the scum of the earth.
That's what makes us interesting, because we are everything and anything.
Everything can never, and everywhere,
we're unpredictable.
All at once.
We're
like
omnipresent.
Yeah, we're like God.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much. Like, like I can't spot a difference.
No, I definitely don't, because he's blonde, blue eyed, right? Yeah. I'm
blonde and blue eyed, yeah.
And had a mustache too? Yeah. That's
abs.
God for you.
Abs.
So now he's rich. He's rich, and now he's. This is like after. So now, and he was a pirate for a couple
know his
years.
Name is Rich.
Yeah, Edmund Rich. Edmund Richo.
Yep.
Richo.
You're right. Rico.
Yeah.
Rico the Reaper. Continue.
So now here's where the okay, so the movie's been good up till now, but here's where the movie gets really good, because he starts manipulating their lives to the point where they are falling through the ground on every front, you know, like financially, socially, their lives are just starting to go to shit.
This is where you see all of the scheming, like turning out. Like all the plans that was being made kind of coming through.
Yep. Every he predicts every move. He controls every move. It's like it's a giant geopolitical chess game going on here.
And John likes chess.
I like chess.
He does.
So pretty much everyone that was involved in him going to prison for 11 years, where he literally sat in a cell and got whipped every year on his anniversary, he made them pay. He made them feel the pain that he felt.
Feel the fear, the terror.
Your world being ripped away.
Yeah.
And the thing is that all these people deserved it.
They're all pieces of shit.
They're all
basically scummy people.
They're all scumbags of the earth. They're all involved in conspiracies.
But even our main character is kind of not a great guy either. But he's better than the people that he's taking down.
But before he became before he went to prison, he was like, you know, naive, innocent. He's no crimes or anything like that.
No.
Nothing real. And up till and this, the only thing that he makes him seem kind of like a crazy character is the fact that now he's going about all this, which I mean, we're talking about a man who's been in like just locked away from the world for years, like literally just sitting in a prison cell for years.
Yeah.
Upon years. So this man's mind has kind of gone crazy. So yeah, now
as it would.
Yeah. So you kind of just get these moments where he sees his the only person that actually recognizes him at first is his old girlfriend, who's now married to
the one who betrayed him.
His old best friend. She's married to him, and plot twist, you find out that she married him because she was pregnant with Edmond Dantès's kid.
And she needed someone to take care of, help provide for this
kid. She didn't want this kid to be seen as a bastard who would never have a future. So she's like, I'm going to marry a count.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was a smart move.
Yeah.
But then Edmond comes back, you know, kind of kicks everybody's ass, and she's like, you're actually the son of Edmond Dantès, the man you know.
And then Henry Cavill, who's the kid, he's like, really?
He's like, what? And he's like, you let me fight him to his once was dad. Not actually. Yeah.
And that's kind of where we end up in the movie. And it's just, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. I probably did a terrible job of explaining it. I probably made
it
sound kind of trash.
I think you got all of the
important parts. But I should say, it's a lot better. It's better
you
when you actually watch it.
You need to just watch it.
Because they
you
have
the
build-up
the
moments.
Scenery.
Yeah, the scenery, the build-up
like, there's
moments.
Also there's not a lot of tension in this movie. But that's fine, because this movie is about scheming and how to formulate a plan to take someone down.
Yeah.
But when those moments of tension happen, they fucking punch you right in the fucking face like a goddamn boxer.
And,
like, they will knock you down like Muhammad fucking Ali. Like,
and dude, this man is laser focused on like.
It reminds me of like a Daniel Craig James Bond movie.
Yeah,
like,
a little
you
bit.
You can kind of just like see him articulating every word that's being said.
Like he's
in every document,
I mean,
everything.
Jacopo said it perfectly. He's like, you've got the lot of money. You're the richest man I've ever known, and you've got a woman who loves you. Take the money, take the woman, and go. But this man is locked in on revenge, and he's like, I can't. Revenge is all I have.
Yeah, but this movie, it's just, that's where it shines the most, and there's, like, you know, the romance circle, which is fine.
I really love the romance, because the romance is the thing that takes him out of this lot.
Exactly.
Like, at the end, he's willing to give up on his revenge to save his wife and child from this crazy dude, Fernan, the old best friend.
Yes.
Because he's going ultra crazy now.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And his old best friend is now, like, ultra pissed off, because now he's like, this dude isn't actually my son. And Edmund's still alive, and he's made me lose everything that I have. And so he's about to just, like, he's willing now to sacrifice everything just to get a last fight in with Edmund, which is how the movie kind of ends, is with them fighting. Pretty cool fight scene, sword fight, you know.
That was pretty cool. That was, like, really the only, like, action scene.
Yeah.
Kind of like not action, but like a hand-to-hand.
Like, yeah, like a nice sword fight.
Sequence.
There's a little bit of sword play.
Yeah. It was just like it had that nice little old school swashbuckle feel to it.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of what they were leaning towards in this movie. The other movies, I kind of do want to watch them now.
I do
just
too.
To see like how different they are, or if they're really similar. And then eventually, hopefully, maybe read the book too. So then get the full immersion of the whole story and the.
How many there are?
The book. There's a lot. I know that much.
The Count of Monte Cristo of 1934.
There's
the Treasure
61.
Of Monte Cristo. Here's the other one that I've
the
seen.
The 1975 one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's this one.
The one that we watched.
I feel like this one's, I don't know, I feel like this one's going to be the best.
And it's, I mean, it's the most modern take on it. So for our eyes, it's probably the easiest one to digest.
Yeah.
For our heads and stuff like that. But I do want to look into the other ones at some point, because I think they would be really fun to watch.
Yeah, I definitely want to. I honestly can't believe I haven't watched them yet.
Maybe we'll watch these and then do reviews on those movies, too.
And I think this one is on Amazon Prime or something like that.
It's on Tubi and Peacock and
Amazon.
So, so maybe when I come back from that trip,
we should watch
me and John will watch it and we'll talk about it. So look out for it, maybe.
And now I also have Count of Monte Cristo on disc, so we can watch that whenever we want.
Exactly. So
I will say that there are a couple things in this movie that are just like kind of like don't entirely make a ton of sense.
And I mean, like
in continuity,
most movies
are kind
of like
that. Yeah, there's always things that you can tear apart.
The only thing about this movie is that the feel of it, and I say this a lot, the feel of the movie. So you kind of
forgive. That's the most important thing.
You kind of forgive some of the things that don't add up 100%.
But the thing, like, they make Edmund, they're like trying to make him captain of the ship, and he can't even read, and I'm like.
You need to be literate to do that kind of stuff.
But they also needed that, because that's one of the things that made his best friend. See, his best friend is very prone to jealousy. So when he found out that that Edmund was going to become captain of a ship, he's like, "Yours is a life truly blessed, Edmund."
There's just a few things like that just kind of make you think, like, that doesn't make sense. You're kind of stretching it here.
There's not a ton, but enough that...
It's just enough to take notice to.
Doesn't deplete the movie at all.
Like, sometimes when there's a lot of them, it'll deplete kind of the movie and the experience. Mm-hmm. But this is not one of the cases. Those are a few... There's just a few of them, and you can forgive them because this movie just kind of sucks you in with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, those problems... don't fucking matter.
Nope,
and they need to make... I wish they made more movies like this in Hollywood. Like, they don't make fun adventure movies like this anymore. Especially, I saw the budget for this was $35 million.
That's a low-ass budget, bro.
It's a pretty decent-sized budget for
how much
an adventure movie
office.
Like this. So, today in Hollywood, that'd be about, like, $60-70 million, probably. They don't make those movies hardly anymore. They don't make those like mid to low budget adventure movies.
Yeah, and it made pretty good profit in box office.
It did. So,
$75 million in box office.
So it probably just like broke even and made enough money with all the advertising and all that shit that comes along with it.
More or less. They probably made,
But that's where I want to end this on is like, I wish we would get more movies like this. Like, we're getting Indiana Jones later this summer, sure.
Dude, honestly, I wish
that's
they could.
That's a fifth movie in a franchise that should have been dead after the third one.
I wish that they'd go back to like the old cameras sometimes, like because like I don't know, there's just something about like look at that, like that
it's just
camera
beautiful.
Just looks good.
And Yeah.
It looks more real.
I know Indiana Jones is coming out, but it won't feel the same, kind of like this, or any of the early Indiana Jones movies. It'll feel like a modern movie, and the fourth Indiana Jones movie felt that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
I just want those movies to be made again. So, yes, I would buy this on Blu-ray, even though it's a movie from 2002.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just such a gorgeous shot.
It is a gorgeous shot.
Oh, yeah.
But that's all I got on this. And John, we did it. We recorded a lot longer than I expected.
Yeah,
too.
Actually, I don't know how that was 25 minutes.
We fucking did it, man.
All right.